Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar, hanging out with Gary Clark Jr. Gary, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm ready to rock.
Ready to rock in Nashville. You heard it, folks. Talk to us about your little black and blue signature you got here from Epiphone, based on your preferred casino model.
Well, nothing really is changed up with the casino. You know, all the way hollow, P90s. These are the American Gibson pickups. You know, black and blue coat, white trim. That's about it. I mean, I love the Epiphone so much.
Yeah.
You know, the casino pretty much as is. I just wanted something that I wanted to look at, really. Like, I always dreamed of having like a black and blue guitar, so.
I know that you used to play Rivieras and you probably still record with them, but how do you feel that they tonally differ from what you're using here with the black and blue?
Tonally?
Yeah. Or just how you feel, or what maybe style that you play with each guitar differently, maybe?
Well, the thing I love about the P90 pickups and the, you know, it being completely hollow is it's got this really kind of a round, pretty tones, you know, like up on the neck.
Yeah.
So I like those when I feel like, you know, playing some jazz licks, and then I flip this thing down to the neck and it just screams,
it's gnarly,
and squeals,
yeah.
And the feedback is amazing or terrible depending on
each night.
Know, yeah, each night. So it's always fun. It's something that I like to. The options seem to be endless on this.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing I like about the Rivieras, which is different, is it's like, it's a little bit more chimey,
okay.
I think, and, you know, in my opinion, so.
Maybe
I like them all, but this is my deal right here. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And did you use this on the new record that you just dropped?
I did. I used this guitar on the song called The Healing.
Okay. You've been playing a lot on the road too, I've seen, and live stuff,
yeah.
YouTube and stuff.
So, it's one of the most recent additions, you know, and so we're still getting to know each other a little bit, yeah, but I love it. It feels great. It's sexy, obviously.
Black and blue.
And yeah, that's about it.
And just real quickly, I want to touch on, I know two other guitars that you used, you spoke with us in the November issue for Premier Guitar about, yeah. I know you used a white Strat pretty yeah. exclusively, you were using it on stage a little mm-hmm. bit during soundcheck, and then the SG
yeah.
for the probably the more humbucker tones in there.
Right, right.
Yeah. What do you like about the Strat that none of the Gibsons, the Epiphones provide for you, especially with the second record? I know that was a big addition to the lineup of guitars.
Yeah, well, I always loved the sound of the Strat.
Yeah.
Ever since I picked one up, I've been trying to sound like Steve Ray Vaughan and Nile Rodgers. So, I love that, the tone of it. It's special. My fiance got it for me.
Oh, all right.
I was in New York City, and I used to go to this shop all the time, Ludlow, kind of downtown. So I ended up playing that guitar for a couple of hours. I just went in there to go get some strings or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't really need this right now. Maybe, you know, things work out, I'll grab it. So I just happened to be walking by the store and it was closed, and I was walking with her and I was like, you see that?
That's right, the one.
There? I was like, I think I need that in my life. So she surprised me with it, got it for me for a Christmas gift. So it's extra special in that way. You know, 60s custom shop.
Dang.
You know, it's kind of got the relic thing, but it's not too crazy. Still kind of
yeah.
clean, you know, beautiful. Yeah, I love it.
And do you use it any particular songs in that record on the new Sunny Boy?
Yeah. I use it on Our Love, Star. I use it on Down to Ride. Also use it for the lead on Hold On, some of the rhythm
gotcha.
Stuff.
And so some of the more soulful songs. In
yeah, kind of. Yeah, the really like the soulful, funky, groovy record.
Yeah.
I use it on that. Really influenced. Like I said, I got to give it up to Nile Rodgers and that kind
the
of tone.
Maker.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, that was a big influence on me, and only the Strat could kind of do that, you know, like the
yeah.
Curtis Mayfield type tone
yeah.
or something like that. So that's what I was going for on that. And that, you know, talking about the SG.
Yeah.
That was a gift from Pat Smear.
Who are you playing with tonight?
Yeah, so I figured I would bring that one out. It's kind of turned into like one of my favorite guitars. I never thought I would play an SG. I never, you know.
Why is that?
Well, I just, I just didn't think, you know, I kind of grew up like, you know, in this hollow body,
yeah,
Telecaster Strat kind of thing. And that one was, I didn't quite know how to approach it. So when I gave it, I showed up for the Sonic Highways session. I was talking with Dave and ended up cutting the song on the record. And I brought a 125 thinking I would be like creative and artistic and bring something new to the table. And that was an epic fail. And so they brought the 61 reissue out. Played it, tracked it, it sounded great, and they gave it to me.
Yeah.
So it really bites, it cuts, it's huge.
It sounds
powerful.
Awesome, huge on stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's that and you know, the amp combination is like, it cuts. It's, I think it's perfect for a gig like this.
Yeah, it's the arena show. And we just did a rig rundown with ZZ Top, and his guitar tech, Elwood, mentioned that he hates the tremolo. It's a similar, he has a similar 61 reissue. Do you have yours on or engaged? Do you use it? I know that he says he has such tuning problems that he doesn't even hook it up for Billy.
yeah. We're having issues, Dave.
His guitar tech's off camera nodding.
Yeah, totally. We definitely have issues. And so I guess just figured it out the other day. I was trying to figure, you know. I'll grab it sometimes and it'll be at a tune or whatever, and I'll kind of look over like, Dave, like, what's happening, you know? it's not me. So, but yeah, it's engaged and it messes with the tuning a lot, but I'm not gentle with my guitars anyway.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, they're probably gonna be a little out of tune when the gig's over anyway.
Just that means you're trying hard.
You know.
Laying into it.
I'm not here to mess around. If I'm gonna play it, I'm gonna play all of it.
All right, Gary, to close out the segment with you, want to tell us about your strings and guitar picks? I know that sometimes you're playing both with your fingers and then also with your guitar picks. But
yeah. String, you know, nothing too crazy. 11 gauge.
So not like Stevie, like 13s, 14s?
No, I can't do that. I'm a fan of D'Addario's, but, you know, trying some new things. You know, some folks
try them out?
Yeah, you know, Dunlop, whatever. So that's pretty much it. I've tried the super light and I've tried the heavy.
Yeah.
I like it right
there. Right in the middle.
Right in the middle, you know. It feels good to me. So that's about it.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for your time, Gary. We'll get the rest
it.
Of your details from Guitar Tech Dave.
Dave can tell you what's actually going on. I just pick him up and play him, you know.
Perfect. All right, we're over here with Dave. Dave, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Thank you for taking the time to walk us through the rest of Gary's gear. I guess we should get right to it and dive right into the guitar boat.
Great.
What do we got here?
It's a 1966 Casino. It was actually a second. It was American-made, sent over to Europe because it didn't come up to the Epiphone specs as a first guitar.
Gotcha.
So it was stamped as a second, and we found it in London at a pawn shop.
And what is the top here? I mean, that's...
It's burled.
Yeah.
It's a burled top. It was in a window because you can see how brilliant the back is.
Yeah, the back is.
And then the front is definitely sun faded. We took the... He likes to take the pick guard off.
And there's any particular songs, or is this mainly a backup for a lot of his other?
This used to be like a number one, but then as soon as he got the SG, he hasn't picked anything else up.
Okay.
It's that ES-330.
Okay.
Yeah, it's late 50s.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it used to be a main guitar. He hasn't brought it out in quite a while, though. It's been a minute. Yep. So.
And is there anything that he particularly would grab this one for? Or is this mainly getting a backup and maybe sit behind the SG again?
If he plays harmonica,
okay,
he'll use this. It's got a bit softer sound.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't really turn this one up very loud.
Gotcha.
This was his number one from, I guess, the first time he got a record deal. This was his number one guitar.
Okay.
It's a 2007 Chinese pickups, Bigsby. This one, you know, this one stays in tune.
Yeah, it's a little easier.
Yeah. It's been a while, though.
So yeah.
Like I said, the SG has pretty much killed everything.
He still brings them out, though, like old friends.
Yeah. Black and blue, we did.
Yep.
Just skip it? Or
yeah, that's fine. We'll...
Okay. And this is the SG. This was the... It's a 2013 custom shop. It was a gift from Pat Smear.
From the Foo Fighters, yeah.
From the Foo Fighters.
Who's opening for tonight?
This is number one. This is taking the place of everything except for the Stratocaster, of course. All right. But
and so he'll play it on both the original material in Black and Blue and the Sonny Boy stuff, or is it newer
stuff?
The
first and second album.
So yes. It's pretty much taken over.
Yeah, everything.
And he uses 11s on all his guitars. I know he mentioned earlier that in the Black and Blue, is he using
11s? Yeah, occasionally on Strat, he'll take a 10.
Okay.
For the real light, soulful stuff.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much 11 standard now through everything.
And does he any standard tuning all the way through?
No, tuning changes quite a bit. Open G.
Okay.
This is, like I said, this is probably number 1.1.
Yeah.
You know, this is just after and just before the SG.
It's pretty cool that both the guitars he got that he...
They were gifts.
Yeah, they're gifts, and they both happen to be two of his favorites right now.
Absolutely. This one is just, he can play this with anything. Never have a problem with this one.
Yeah.
You throw it downstairs and it'll stay in tune.
I don't think you should do that, but I'll take your word for
it. Won't do that. This was actually a gift from the bass player, Johnny Bradley.
Oh, all right.
He was working with the Fano bass guitars, and they asked if Gary'd be interested in one of these. He played it for the album and loved it.
Oh, really?
So it's become part of a permanent rotation now, and it's basically a Strat, but it's got way more mid-range to it.
Yeah, and is that because you feel like the P90s?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, these last two guitars, I've never seen Gary play live.
Yeah, this one he used to always play it on Numb. That song Numb from the first album. It's a 74 Telecaster.
And he uses it for what song when
Numb,
he plays it?
Okay. Numb, normally. It's great for open tune.
Oh, yeah.
It just screams.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a little thicker than the Strat.
Yep.
All right, so that was the tour.
And that's pretty much it, right?
The tour of the parking lot. That's about it.
All right, cool. Should we go look out front at the amps and pedals?
Sure.
Great. All right, we're here at the amps. Talk to us about what's going on here, Dave. Is it one amp or both of them going at the same time, stereo
rig? Yeah, both
rig?
Are going same time. It's AB.
Okay.
Normally, both are going at all times. There's never an alternation.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'll start with the combination. The two over here, it's a 212 cabinet instead of the 310 for the Viber King, but it's a Viber King extension cabinet.
Okay.
I'm still 4-ohm, as I would be a combo.
Okay.
It's a 100-watt transformer with 60 watts of output.
Okay.
This two-piece here was his, it played the entire record.
Oh, wow.
So, this was always involved in the recording.
Okay.
For this new album.
Okay.
So, and basically why it's two pieces, we couldn't find a Viber King in Europe.
Oh.
Pete Townsend had 10 made. We were able to get two of them.
Wow.
So now all I can do, I can get a Fender Twin, and it's 4-ohm, so I can just slave the cabinet, and I have a Viber King, basically.
Gotcha.
And I can put it on a plane and fly with it.
So. Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to ask why the two different setups.
Right. Well, this is normally what I fly with.
Okay.
And then this was a gift to Gary, probably 2008, from Fender.
Okay.
So...
And is there speaker differences between the extension cab and the combo?
Yeah, the combo is 310s.
Okay.
4-ohm, same as the head.
Okay.
And same output and the transformer, 100-watt transformer.
And do you guys have them dialed up about the same, or do you have them kind of complementing each other to have different...
No, they're normally pretty much the same across the board. The only thing that will change is maybe a little bass here or a little less bass here.
Okay.
A little more treble or a little less treble.
Gotcha.
He likes the mid-range on this. That's his kind of sweet spot. So he'll drive the mid-range a little more than he will the bass of the treble.
Okay.
Because he's already got enough treble with the Strat.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like glass. You know, a little too bright, so then he'll go to the guitar for the tone control.
Gotcha.
To get rid of it.
And it looks like there's no, has the tremolo dialed out both on both of them?
Yeah, with hollow stages, it takes off the reverb tank. I have them both padded, but still, that's not enough. As soon as the kick drum or the, you know, bass hits, it causes the reverb tank just to go crazy.
Okay.
And so that's what I use the Strymon pedal to take the place of the tremolo and the reverb on the Viber King.
Gotcha. Well, you already mentioned it. Let's check out the pedals.
Great.
All right, we went through the guitars, went through the amps. You already have mentioned that you use the Flint Strymon. Now let's fill in the rest of the holes of the pedals that you guys are using to get Gary's tones, Dave. Tell me about, I guess after the Polytune, we got the Octafuzz.
Yeah, the Octafuzz. I mean, Gary loves the fuzz. We've been actually on a constant search for the best sounding fuzz.
Yeah.
It's really tough. We've probably gone through 30 different, even custom-made fuzz boxes.
Are you looking for like octave fuzzes or fuzzes and octave, like all fuzzes? Or
all
you...
fuzzes.
Okay.
You know, basically, he uses fuzzes in many different ways.
Yeah.
Really quiet, really loud. But basically, the Octafuzz is the probably the most constant in the pedal board it, as far as his sound and the way he likes to break it up. He'll change it from the Octafuzz to the fuzz.
Okay.
And make it different for a different solo, different mm-hmm. intro, you know.
Gotcha. And would you say the Zen Drive or the Octafuzz or maybe both of them have taken the place? Because I know Gary, well, for a long time, had the King of Tone.
Yeah, he had the King of Tone, and he also had a Tube Screamer.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, the Zen Drive took the place of the Tube Screamer.
Okay.
And basically a boost, but a boost with a little bit of riz to it. You know, it has a little bit of gnarl to it. To me, it's the best boost, cleanest, but little bit dirty boost I've ever heard. You know?
And how is that different than the actual black and white yin-yang?
The yin-yang one?
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
The mid-range is voiced on this one.
Okay.
A bit more, I don't want to call it a dumble, but it's basically a dumble in a box.
Gotcha.
Basically.
And the Flint Strymon, are you using both the reverb and tremolo? Or
reverb
just
and tremolo to take the place of the Viber Kings.
Gotcha.
Just on big stages. Back in clubs, I'll turn those back on.
Okay. Is there any certain settings? I know that the Strymon
Gary
stuff is really flexible.
Reverb.
So
Gary
is there
loves
all
reverb.
Spring?
He just kind of, that spring reverb. And then he uses the hall reverb on a couple of the soul stuff.
Gotcha.
Just, you know, that with the Strat, it's very tubular.
Yeah.
It's got that nice echo. And
yeah, the bell-like sound.
And then Scott Uchida at Dunlop asked us to try a wah, and Gary loved it. We were able to tune it exactly the way he likes it to sound.
Yeah. How would you describe what Gary likes in a wah? Because I know
underwater.
Okay.
Sounds like it's underwater.
Okay.
You know, you can definitely hear the pitches.
Uh-huh.
However, they almost sound like they're choked out a bit.
Okay.
You know, because, like I said, he's a bit of a high end as far as his tone. There's a lot of treble, you know, that comes through. So the darker that is,
the better
for his the way he plays.
Gotcha. So. And is that something that you think maybe Dunlop and Gary might put out in the market, or is this something that maybe just Gary gets?
As of 2 weeks ago, the campaign has started for Gary to be a crybaby.
All right.
Endorse. So.
Well, here to hear, folks. Yeah. Crybaby wah for Gary Clark. I think that covers it pretty much, Dave.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate it.
Get out of your hair, let you get back to work.
No, I hope you guys got everything you needed.
I think we did. I think we did. Cool. This is Chris Keys, another Rig Rundown. See y'all from Nashville.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.